Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to the Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.
Radio, Becky Noble. I am so glad that everybody could hang out with me tonight. It is Friday night, as you know, TGIF. We have all made it through another week. Hard to believe, I know, but yes, here we are. Anyway, as you all know also, because Conservative Cauldron listeners are the very smartest there are, we have so incredibly much to cover tonight and not a lot of time to do it. As always, I am loaded for bear tonight. And so I guess we should just jump right in. And I guess, you know, what has the entire, it seems like the entire world has been talking about this week, but George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin. As you know, the trial wrapped up yesterday. Closing arguments began yesterday afternoon with the prosecution. By all accounts, the prosecution kind of was like, you know, it was like their bodies were there, but their minds weren't. Defense rested yesterday and gave their closing arguments today, and the case went to the jury this afternoon. As we all know, it's a jury of six women, five white women and one Latina woman, and not that I think that should matter. I wonder if we are ever going to get to Dr. King's dream of living in a colorblind society, because after everything that we have all, I'm sure, seen and witnessed this week during this circus of a trial, I can't believe that I'm the only one who is feeling that way. You know, we've all just been bombarded with this trial and with lawyers and prosecutors and detectives, and until it's enough to just make you cry uncle and go hide under a rock somewhere. And, you know, I think I heard Fox News' Judge Andrew Napolitano, who I think is a brilliant, brilliant guy, heard him the other day speaking about this trial. And someone asked him to make a prediction about how he thought it was going to go one way or the other. And he said, you know, he said that juries are strange things. And just when you think that you've got it figured out and you think they're going to go one way, they're going to do a 180 and go another way. And so he really would not go out on a limb and make a prediction. And I kind of like that. I kind of respected that, because there are so many people who did go out on a limb and did make a prediction. I think the general consensus here is that, well, to start out with, the general consensus is that a young man is dead. And that is tragic, and our hearts go out to his parents, because I don't think that any one of us in a million years would want to be in that place of losing a child. But there's also a man here on trial for his very life, literally his life, because if George Zimmerman is acquitted, and he is free to go, his life will never be his own. His life will never be the same ever again. Somebody better call Casey Anthony and tell her that she's getting roommates, because he's going to have to be wherever it is that she is living out her day. And the man's going to have death threats against him for the rest of his life. And it's really kind of a tragic story all around for everybody. And I had someone send to me, actually it was my husband, my wonderful, loving husband, Randy, who sent me a message from someone who messaged him, a Facebook friend of his this evening, a black man by the name of D'Angelo Akins. I don't know D'Angelo. He's not one of my Facebook friends, but I'm assuming here that he's one of my husband's Facebook friends. And, you know, D'Angelo, I hope, is speaking for a lot of other African Americans and maybe just a lot of other Americans in general. I really want to share with you what he wrote on Facebook here this evening. He said, my opinion is not the popular one, but it's mine. I think that if we were as adamant about black-on-black crime as we are about a white man killing a black teen, there would be a lot less of it. Why is it okay for us to kill each other by the thousands on a daily basis, but so wrong for a white man to kill one of us? I think it shows how prejudiced we are and not the other way around. Black gang members murder our black babies daily in many cities throughout America, but we say nothing about it. We see it in our neighborhoods and say nothing because we don't want to be labeled as snitches. But now you hear cries of riots everywhere if Zimmerman is not brought to justice. I don't believe it's about Trayvon for real. I think it's about the color of Zimmerman's skin. And the worst part about it is we still claim Christ in the midst of it. It's not the popular opinion, but it's mine. You know what? That is, I think it is probably what so many people are thinking. And for whatever reason, be it intimidation, be it whatever it is, I think that there are so many people that are just afraid to speak out. And I messaged D'Angelo back and just encouraged him and said, way to go. Don't be afraid to speak out, because we've got your back. There's a lot of other people who think and who feel the same way that you do. So don't be afraid and don't hold back to say what you think. And, you know, it's been funny, too, also that as this trial went to the jury, as this case went to the jury, that you had all the usual suspects, all the usual race pimps and race hustlers, Jesse and Reverend Al, who neither one of them I can bring myself to actually call a reverend, because neither one of them would know anything reverend unless it crawled up their leg and bit them in the butt. But Al Sharpton was doing his best Dr. Martin Luther King impersonation earlier today, trying to calm everybody's fears and let's not be violent, even though this is going to be a test for us if it doesn't come out the way that we planned. Can't we all just come together and deal with whatever the verdict is, whatever the outcome is, whether we like it or not? Well, you know, Al, that's nice and that's great, but you know, we heard a year ago as George Zimmerman was arrested and taken into custody, and everyone from the Department of Justice, who we'll talk about in a minute, and everybody in between was organizing rallies and protests about this case. Well, Al had a very different feeling about the whole thing, and they were talking about it on Fox News Channel's The 5 program this evening, and here's just a little bit of what you might have heard Reverend Al say about a year ago.
Now to the Zimmerman trial in Florida, Greta is still with us. The case is now in the hands of the jury, but should this case have even gone to trial? Geraldo Rivera says race politics forced Florida to pursue a weak case against Zimmerman and blames civil rights activists like Al Sharpton for getting Zimmerman prosecuted in the first place.
This was a case brought because of political pressure, race politics in this country. I hate to say it, I hold the Reverend Al Sharpton in much higher regard than many of my colleagues. I won't speak for any of you presently, but I think I do. But I totally believe that the Reverend Al is the catalyst behind the murder two charge 6 weeks after the incident.
And here's what Sharpton said back in March of 2012.
We are tired of going to jail for nothing, and others going home for something. Zimmerman should have been arrested that night. Don't talk to us like we stupid. Don't talk to us like we ignorant. We love our children like you love yours. Lock them up.
Greg, your buddies are sharp, aren't you?
Yeah, we go way back to the...
Well, yeah. Bring everybody together, Al, because, well, we know your track record, and, well, we know that that's what you do best. Really? Really? Are you kidding me? As soon as the prosecution's case started to fall apart, people like Jesse and Al had to start panicking, and maybe even our own race baiter in chief, President Obama, had to be a little sweaty and thinking, oh, my gosh, we were really trying to gin things up here a year ago when George Zimmerman went to jail. And now that the whole case is falling apart, now what do we do because we look like fools? Well, you know what? It's too late because you all already look like fools. So don't worry about it. Just keep going on about your business because you already look that way. And it was just really incredible to hear a hypocrite like Al Sharpton trying to tell people to keep calm when he was the one who was ginning this whole thing up in the first place. And, you know, if you are somebody like D'Angelo, that's got to piss you off. It just really does. And I hope that D'Angelo gets a chance to speak out to a lot more people because I think that people really need to hear what he has to say. And anyway, as long as we are on the subject of race and race baiting, we have kind of a local thing going on here in St. Louis regarding some unaccredited school districts. The Normandy School District and the Riverview School District are both, at this point right now today, unaccredited school districts. Their test scores are in the toilet. There's just the schools themselves are in a shambles. There's no money to repair them or fix them. And the school districts itself are just, they're broke. They're basically broke. And now what they would like to do, in fact, the Missouri Supreme Court has ruled on this and really hasn't given anybody a say in any of this, that they would like to send students from the Normandy School District out to Francis Howell and students from the Riverview School District down to the Melville School District. And, of course, you're going to have all the people screaming racism, you know, right out of the chute. And you know what? Maybe for some people, for a fringe group of people, that is what it's about. Because unfortunately, racism is a human condition that we would all love to eradicate, but it's never going to happen. And so, yeah, there's going to be some fringe kooks out there that maybe do feel that way. But the thing is that people who live in the Francis Howell School District, people who live in the Melville School District, they moved to those school districts because they were good districts. They worked hard. They saved up enough money to buy a house in those school districts, and they continued, as other people moved into those districts, to maintain those schools and maintain the quality district for their children. And now you've got people who really, it's kind of the fault of the parents of these school districts. Nobody's blaming anything on the kids. The kids have nothing to do with it, and I think we all want children, regardless of who they are, we all want children to get a good education because they're the future of this country, and if they don't get a good education, then all is lost. But the people in the parents, especially in the Normandy and the Riverview School District, really isn't the fault of what's wrong with these school districts theirs because they have just made bad choices and made bad decisions and have not insisted on the maintaining of these school districts for their children. So when you have students, when you have a group of students who are going to move out of one school district to another, it's kind of a, you know, you're piggybacking onto someone else's hard work. And it's almost just a textbook example of liberalism. And instead of saying, hey, why don't we fix the problems here in our own school and we're just going to ship our kids out to another district where they're going to have to get up at, what, 4 in the morning to if you live in Normandy or Riverview, to get to a school in the Francis Howell or the Melville School District. God forbid, what if those kids, what if they want to play sports after school? What if they want to be in marching band? What if they want to be in a club? What if there's any after-school activity that these kids would like to enjoy and participate in? They're not going to get home until 6 o'clock, 6:30 in the evening. It's such a bad deal for everyone involved. And mostly, once again, it's the kids. The kids who are the ones who are going to pay the price when they are sitting on a school bus for 2 hours a day and getting up at 4 in the morning to stand at the bus stop in January when it's 10 degrees. Anyway, I'm going to take a short break here. When I come back, we will talk about a little bit about the Department of Justice and their activities, shall we say, down in Florida, down in the Sunshine State. The DOJ has been, well, they've been active. So we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about a whole lot more. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm your host, Becky Noble, and you are listening on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Stick around. I'll be right back.
You're listening to The Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.
To Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am your host, Becky Noble, and you are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio on the Blog Talk Radio Network. It is Friday, TGIF, all capital letters. We have made it through yet another week, my friends, and here we are hanging out on a Friday night at Conservative Cauldron Radio. We've been talking about, of course, what everybody and their brother has been talking about. I think the whole world. I think there's got to be, like, I don't know, Eskimos that are talking about George Zimmerman. That's what it seems like, that the whole entire world has been talking about this case. And I played for you a clip before the break about how Al Sharpton just wants everybody to hold hands and sing Kumbaya, if you can believe that. But we had a little flashback moment, if you will, and we heard Al in all his glory from a year ago. And, you know, you can use your imagination on that one. But our buddy Piers Morgan, you know, even the Brits don't want him back. We're trying to give him back, and they just, you know, I understand why they don't want him back, because, well, he's kind of a jackass. But anyway, actor Jeff Daniels was on his Piers Morgan show because, I don't know, I think there's probably a lot of people that really don't want to go near Piers Morgan show, and I don't know, he must have grabbed poor Jeff by the arm and dragged him into the show, but you know, maybe not once you hear Jeff Daniels and Piers Morgan talk about, of all things, the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment. Excuse me, a little tongue-tied for them. It's Friday. But so if you can stomach this, here's two rocket scientists, one of them not even an American, talking about the Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States.
What do you make of the Trayvon Martin trial? Because it has, in a strange way, it's gripped many Americans. Others think, you know, the networks are going too big on this. In the end, it's just another murder case. There are many of them in America every day. But I think it says more about America. But what do you think?
I agree with you. I think it says a lot about America, and it's similar to the OJ thing. There's race. Race is in it. I mean, it may not enter the trial, but that's a big part of what everybody is watching. And, you know, reasonable doubt is a hell of a thing to overcome.
What about self-defense, guns, the right of an American to carry one in the first place in that situation and to use it, and potentially he may well walk away a free man?
Yeah, I'm one of the guys that goes back to the Second Amendment and just goes, you know what, it was a different time, and now we're into the Sandy Hooks and the, you know, all of that, and whatever happened between George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin that night, only they know. One of them had a gun, and they're real easy to get, and I'm one of the guys that would go, let's 90% of America said background checks, let's do a better job of policing it. And I know the gun lobby and the gun enthusiasts get all bent out of shape about that, but it's a different world now.
Yeah, it's a different world, and so the Second Amendment is from another time, and maybe we should just Hawaii will just, you know, scrap the whole thing, because now we're into the Sandy Hooks, and we really just don't need the Second Amendment. Are you kidding me? You know, like I said, you know, Piers Morgan, what are you going to say, because he's, you know, he's not even an American, so, you know, whatever. But, you know, I guess Jeff Daniels, you can just chalk up to just another Hollywood liberal. You know, I mean, what more can you say? You know, the Second Amendment sucks and guns suck and everything about America and the Constitution sucks until it affects them. And then it's okay. They can have their bodyguards with the big guns, and that's okay somehow, that you know, that the rules are for you but not for me. Must be nice. Apparently it's just Jeff's world. We're just living in it. I don't know. But also this week, of course, earlier this week, we had that horrible plane crash in San Francisco. It was confirmed today that there has been a third death from this plane crash, a little girl. And really with roughly 300 people on board this plane, it's a miracle that more people were not killed in this plane crash. Of course, the National Transportation Safety Board is still investigating this crash, and I'm sure they will be for quite some time. What they have concluded, at least I think up until, as of right now, I don't think that anything is completely conclusive yet, but what they are saying as of today is that so far there is no evidence of any mechanical problems. They, by listening to the black boxes from the plane and the voice data recorder boxes, that the pilots failed to notice their approach was too low until it was too late. That's kind of obvious. There was no mention of the speed of the plane or the lack of speed until about 9 seconds before impact, when the plane was at about 100 feet. And 2 seconds before impact, two of the pilots can be heard calling to abort the landing. And, of course, at that point, it was too late. They have not found any mechanical malfunctions in such systems on the plane as any of the engines, the flight control surfaces, the autopilot, the auto throttles, or the flight director, which, you know, what I know about planes, you could sit on less than a head of a pin. But so far, there has been nothing mechanical that they have found to link to this crash. And, of course, our sympathies are with the families of the two Chinese girls that were killed. And now today, there was a young child who has died from her injuries in this plane crash. So hopefully that we can get to the bottom of, and the wheels of the NTSB turn slowly. So hopefully we can get to the bottom of this as soon as possible so that it doesn't happen again. And like I was saying too earlier, apparently the Department of Justice or the Department of Lack of Justice, well, they've been taking trips to Florida. And there's a group called Judicial Watch, who through Freedom of Information Act has gotten a hold of a few very interesting documents here that kind of says that, well, the DOJ has been spending taxpayer money in Florida to gin up a lot of this racial tension and a lot of this racial animosity. They've been flying people in to the city of Sanford. There's things here that on March 25th through the 27th of last year, and this little-known division of the Department of Justice is called the Community Relations Service Unit. Sounds like the BS unit to me, but they spent $674 upon being deployed, quote, deployed to Sanford, Florida. What is this, like a military operation? What the hell? To work on marches, demonstrations, and rallies related to the shooting and death of an African-American teen by a Neighborhood Watch captain. It goes on here. There is at least four to five other entries here that these documents have proven. On March 25th to the 28th, they spent another roughly $1,150 again to work, quote, work marches, demonstrations, and rallies related to this shooting. March the 30th, another approximately $900 to provide support for protest deployment. Again, there's that word deployment. You know what? You know, it sounds way too organized, way too early on. And I think that says, it speaks volumes, and it says a lot about this whole trial from start to finish. There's too many things, there's too many shady things about this trial that have been way too organized and way too predetermined, it seems like, from day one. April 3rd through the 12th here, CRS spent another roughly $1,300 in Sanford, Florida to, quote, to provide technical assistance, consolation, and on-site mediation during demonstrations planned in Sanford. Funny, I don't remember a lot of mediation. I remember a lot of marching. I remember a lot of Jesse and Al screaming. I remember a lot of that, but I don't quite frankly remember a lot of mediation. And finally, here's the last entry here from April 11th and 12th of last year that they spent another $552 again, to provide technical assistance for the preparation of possible marches and rallies related to the fatal shooting of a 17-year-old African-American male, expenses for employees to travel, eat, and sleep. Really. So, my gosh, look at the time. Time does fly when you're having fun and when you're listening to tales of your tax dollars being misspent. So we will be talking more about this in the weeks to come. Hopefully Judicial Watch will, thank God for them, hopefully they will be doing a lot more work on this particular subject so that we can really find out where exactly, what were they doing with this money, why were they down in Sanford, Florida, ginning up trouble, and why were they using our tax dollars to do it. So anyway, I think that is about it for me tonight. I want to thank everybody for joining me tonight, and I just want to say that you can find me at on Facebook at Becky Noble facebook.com/Becky Noble. I can never get that right. I am also on Twitter at Patriot Witch. You can also see some of my writings on examiner.com and watchdogwire.com. And of course, don't forget the thing that started it all, Conservative Cauldron blog. And you can find that at conservativecauldron.blogspot.com. Got a great piece that I just put up last night about a cross being drawn in the dirt at Busch Stadium. What the heck is that all about? Please feel free to read it and check it out and comment and let me know what you think. Please join me again next week for Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm your host, Becky Noble. Thanks for listening this evening. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Everybody have a great week, and I will see you next time. See you later.
You're listening to the Conservative Cauldron. Bewitching Radio.